It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. After years of legal uncertainty, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled last week that the state's 19th century abortion ban is no longer in effect.
It marks the end of a three-year legal fight that started when Roe v. Wade was overturned, ending the constitutional right to an abortion nationwide.
The state's high court ruling affirms that abortions are legal in Wisconsin up to 20 weeks of pregnancy or beyond if necessary to save the life or health of the mother in a medical emergency.
So how will this ruling affect patient care and hospital policies and practices? We're joined now by Dr. Abigail Cutler, an assistant professor and academic specialist in obstetrics and gynecology at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. She was lead author of a study earlier this year that documented the experiences of Wisconsin OBGYNs after the fall of Roe. Dr. Cutler, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What might change now for you and your patients after the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling?
I think for providers, the ruling really affirms that abortion is legal in Wisconsin, but it is also subject to the many, many restrictions that existed in Wisconsin prior to Dobbs. So stated a different way, it means that physicians can feel comfortable providing clinical care, but in the same way we did before the Dobbs decision, without the fear that this 1849 statute criminalizes abortion under nearly all circumstances, as you mentioned. So this is pretty important for doctors or hospitals or health systems that following the Dobbs decision may have changed the type of pregnancy care they were providing because of the threat that that law posed. For patients, it means that abortion is legal in Wisconsin. There is no abortion ban. That said, you know, thanks to all those restrictions and state laws still on the books, abortion is still heavily restricted and highly regulated here in our state, which makes it really difficult for patients to access that care.
Can you give us some examples of what restrictions and rules are on the books that patients should be aware of?
Sure. So here in Wisconsin, we have a multitude of state laws, most of which lack medical or scientific basis and interfere really dangerously in the doctor-patient relationship. All of them heavily limit our ability to both obtain and provide abortion care. So in the decades leading up to Dobbs, Wisconsin passed law after law that restricted abortion care. We have a 20-week post-fertilization ban, which I should emphasize really translates to a 22-week ban based on the way we actually date pregnancies in medicine. Mm-hmm. A 24-hour mandated waiting period, mandated counseling and ultrasound requirements, a ban on telehealth for anything having to do with abortion, really specific regulations when it comes to the provision of medication or pill abortion. And most consequential, in my mind, is a state law that prohibits the use of public funding for abortion services. And so prohibits any insurance plan sold on the ACA marketplace in Wisconsin from covering abortion care, which also means that many private insurers do not offer insurance coverage for abortion. So that translates, you know, to a vast majority of Wisconsinites who do not have insurance coverage for abortion in a hospital-based setting or otherwise. So most patients can really only afford to have their care, with limited exception, in a freestanding clinic like Planned Parenthood.
And I want to stop you right there because I think you're referring to the Hyde Amendment already prohibiting federal funds from being used on abortion care. On Friday, President Trump signed his sweeping tax cut and spending bill that mm-hmm. has implications for Medicaid payments to clinics that provide abortion services. How might this affect abortion access in Wisconsin?
It's a good question that a lot of people are spending a lot of time thinking about right now. So blocking Medicaid payments to healthcare organizations like Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, you know, organizations that provide abortion, means that all of Wisconsin's patients of reproductive age who have Medicaid insurance and get their healthcare services from Planned Parenthood, even if it's not abortion care, will lose their current source of healthcare. And this is going to hit hardest the communities that already face the greatest health inequities in our state. But if we play this out further, you know, if Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin centers close as a result, which they may have to do because they rely on that funding from Medicaid to provide contraception services, STI screening, not only will people of low means or limited insurance not be able to access those non-abortion reproductive health care services from those family planning centers. But here in Wisconsin, it could jeopardize the ability of everyone, regardless of means, to access abortion care when they need it from the state's largest provider of abortion care. You know, many people have referred to this Medicaid bill as a backdoor national abortion ban because it's estimated that the bill will force a large proportion of abortion providers to close across the country. But honestly, the bill is way worse than a national abortion ban because at the same time, it could make abortion inaccessible by forcing clinics to close. It also shuts down the clinics providing contraception. So with it, we're taking away from people their ability to access birth control and contraception and prevent unwanted pregnancy in the first place.
We're talking with Dr. Abigail Cutler, assistant professor and academic specialist in obstetrics and gynecology at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and a practicing OBGYN at UW Health. You authored this study earlier this year about the experiences of Wisconsin OBGYNs after the fall of Roe, and you heard from physicians around the state that this law was vague and uninterpretable, and you found that the 1849 law was detrimental to providing timely and safe obstetrical care. Do you feel, are those barriers lifted with this ruling?
I hope so. You know, we, 3 years later, following the fall of Roe, we have evidence, you know, research documenting the experiences of obstetrician gynecologists across our state who, along with their hospitals, really struggle to know how to apply this vague and uninterpretable statute to their clinical practice without breaking the law. And we know that that led to wide variations in the kind of care that Wisconsin hospitals or health systems were providing patients during that time, which meant that pregnant Wisconsinites facing the same unfortunate pregnancy complications sometimes received completely different care with potentially, you know, completely different outcomes, all because they found themselves at different hospitals. So my hope is that the repeal of this law will help providers, physicians, hospitals, health systems offer more consistent care that is aligned with our evidence base and that is patient-centered and that is really in accordance with, you know, medical standards. But it's hard to know exactly how it will all play out again, just given the multitude of state restrictions that already make it difficult for patients to access abortion care, but also providers to provide it.
And it's interesting, in your research, you found differing care, as you just said, from one hospital to the next. And I wonder, will this then lead to more hospitals rewriting their policies and practices related to abortion care?
I have no idea. I do hope that having been through the last 3 years was a lesson for many. Of what it looks like when abortion is restricted, particularly when there are threats of criminalization for providing it. And my hope is that providers and hospitals and health systems will take the lessons learned from the last 3 years and do everything we can to reverse barriers where we are able to, so that our patients can access the care that they deserve and need.
Has the future OBGYN workforce in Wisconsin been affected in ways we might not realize now or perhaps not fully understand?
I do think there is emerging research and evidence, certainly, that tells us that, you know, the restrictions in place, the threats of criminalization, the barriers that make it really hard to do the job of a physician or a healthcare provider has thrown into question, you know, for some people, whether they want to continue to be providing that care in a place that makes it so hard for them. I think that the time will tell as more and more data emerges from not just here in Wisconsin, from when we had, you know, 15 to 18 months of true inaccessible care, but 3 years of uncertainty that made it difficult to plan. And it's not just here in Wisconsin, but states all across the country where abortion is or has been restricted.
I want to circle back to Planned Parenthood. In 2024, they filed a petition with the state's high court arguing that the 1849 law violated certain rights outlined in our state constitution, including a right to bodily autonomy. The court dismissed that suit last week with the most recent ruling. Do you think there should be further rulings beyond this one targeting the 1849 law to more broadly protect abortion care in Wisconsin?
It's a good question. I do think it's really important to note, following last week's news, that the court's decision did not address whether the right to abortion is protected in the Wisconsin state constitution. And what that means is that while the 1849 statute has been struck down, again, meaning abortion is legal in Wisconsin, even while subject to all the other statutory restrictions in place, there's nothing about last week's ruling that would prevent the state legislature from advancing a new law banning abortion. And again, we know, you know, that last week's decision doesn't stop U.S. Congress, for that matter, from trying to pass any number of other laws that could further restrict, ban, or completely undermine our ability to access or provide this common reproductive health care need.
When we last spoke, you called it a scary time to be pregnant, to be capable of pregnancy, or to provide obstetrical care. In our final moments together, is it still scary?
I do think it's scary. I think the uncertainty around, you know, how laws, federal laws, state level restrictions impede our abilities to exercise reproductive autonomy, control over our own bodies and reproductive futures, makes it very challenging for people who are capable of pregnancy from making decisions that are personal and private. Certainly for those of us who provide pregnancy related healthcare, you know, when our ability to provide that care is tied to laws and restrictions.
We have to leave it there. Dr. Abigail Cutler with the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, thank you so much for your time.